Good morning. My name's Andy O'Rourke, pastor here of Antioch. If you're wondering why I'm hobbling around, I'm not a pirate like my son accused me, don't worry, like it's a peg leg or something. But over Thanksgiving, broke my leg, so been recuperating a little bit. And this is the first week that I get to preach standing up, which is kind of exciting to do that. We, if you're new here with us, you may not know we have a stack of Bibles in the back over kind of the corner over there. If you don't have one, that's fine. You can follow along or follow along on your smartphone or whatever you have with you. That'd be great. We have a kind of a special celebration Sunday today. We're sending out our first church plant, City Vision Church in St. Louis Park. We're going to commission them after the message today, get them all up front here and pray for them and hear a little bit about their timeline and things that are going on with launching this evening and then in the future. But it's a culmination of a lot of prayer, a lot of work, a lot of team building. Andrew Peterson and his family, his wife Brittany and family, they've been part of Antioch for almost 2 years, a little over a year and a half. He's been a church planting resident and doing a lot of work, working bivocationally and building a team at the same time in the St. Louis Park area. And he'll share a little bit more about that. But a great kind of milestone for them, for us, to celebrate and give glory to God. Being that we're doing that today, we thought it'd be a good time to talk about why do we start churches? Why here at Antioch is that one of our distinctives? Why is that part of our DNA even and important to us as something that we value, starting new churches? It's not the only aspect of Jesus' mission with our lives and our lips to further the gospel. Church planting isn't the only thing about that mission, but it's a key part of it. It's a key element. So we're going to spend some time just wrestling with that question. Why do we plant churches here at Antioch? A good place to start is a verse like Acts 4:12. Speaking of Jesus, it says, "There's salvation in no one else, for there's no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." So along with the Bible, and coming from the Bible, we are convinced that even though there's a lot of material and physical realities that we see in the world around us and in our lives, there are spiritual realities that are very, very important, even more important than the physical at times. And the reality around us is that some people know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, and others don't. And whether you know Jesus Christ or not is the difference between heaven and hell. And as I heard someone say recently, business in hell is booming. A lot of people are headed that way. And the answer is Jesus Christ, as Acts 4:12 says. There's no other name under heaven by which men must be saved. So we want people to meet Jesus. We want people to be transformed by Jesus, to be transformed by the gospel. And if you know Jesus Christ and you've experienced a relationship with him, you understand and you know and you feel that you want to share that good news that you've experienced. You want to share with others what you've experienced in knowing Jesus Christ, being saved from your sins. And if you don't want to share that or really don't care about others knowing that, really, I question if you've actually truly experienced Jesus. Because when you know him, it's so amazing, it's so wonderful, you want others to know about it as well. Now, when we look at before we get into a few biblical passages, let's talk a little bit about the need around us, the evangelistic need around us, or the context that we live in with people that know Jesus and many, many people that do not. Here's some statistics to get our mind around a little bit. In North America, okay, the continent, 86% of the people on this continent are unchurched. 86%. That means they don't go to any Christian church. They would be considered unchurched people. Now, focusing in a little bit on just the United States, the USA, 224 million people are unchurched. 224 million unchurched Americans. The percentage of unchurched people in the last 20 years has almost doubled. So it's not just a slow growth of people that don't, not only don't know Jesus, but don't go to any church. It's really ramping up and growing quickly. The U.S. is actually at this point, the fifth largest mission field in the entire world. So a mission field that needs missionaries right next door, right in our backyard. Now, zooming in a little more, Minnesota. 79% of Minnesotans, according to latest statistics, don't attend any Christian church weekly. 79%. And that's any church. So Protestant, Catholic, mainline, evangelical, any church. Only 21% of people attend any church whatsoever. That doesn't mean that they're necessarily followers of Jesus. Now, in the Twin Cities, let's talk about the 694-494 loop that we're familiar with that goes around the city. Over 1 million people, a little over 1 million people within that loop don't attend any Christian church on a given weekend. 1 million. And in the next 4 years, the population inside 494, 694 is projected to grow by 40,000. So just new churches are needed just to keep up with the population growth, not only the number of people that already don't know Jesus. Zoom in a little more. Antioch Community Church, where we have people from all over the Twin Cities that are part of this church family, but where we meet right here in Northeast Minneapolis, there are over 29,000 people who are not in any Christian church on any given weekend. 29,000 people in Northeast Minneapolis. Within a 3-mile radius of right here, of the Ukrainian Event Center, where we meet, within 3-mile radius, there's 157,000 people that don't go to any church on any weekend. So a huge need just to try to get, it's hard even to get our mind around numbers like that. But this is the world that we live in, an increasingly secular, unchurched, not oriented or interested in Christianity world all around us, a post-Christian culture. And Antioch's mission, as we talk about it often, is we want to be part of what Jesus is doing and be part of, or even just a spark of igniting a movement of the gospel throughout the Twin Cities and beyond. Church planting is in our DNA. We were a church plant ourselves. So the question is, why? There's a great need, but why is church planting one of the answers, or one of the primary answers, as we would say? I want to look at briefly three reasons in the time that we have, and there's more that we could look at. But the first one is a good place to start. The first reason why planting churches is something that we love to do is because it's biblical. Starting new churches is biblical. A few passages here. First, the book of Matthew. Matthew 16, verses 18. Go ahead and turn there. It's pretty easy to find because it's the first book in the New Testament. You just go to the blank page in the middle, or three-fourths way through your Bible. First book is Matthew, and Matthew chapter 16. Now, a little bit of a context here. Jesus, he asks his disciples who they say he is, who they believe, what they believe about his identity. Look what he says. Start in verse 13. Now, when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" And they said, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." And Jesus said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" And Simon Peter, who was one of the disciples, replied, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered him, Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." And then verse 18, look at the promise Jesus makes to Peter and to us. "I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Now, I understand him saying that on this rock, on this confession of who I am, of who I truly am as the Son of God, as the Christ, "I'm going to build my church," Jesus says. A promise that he's going before Peter, before us, before many, many churches in the history of Christianity to build his church. And through the people that Jesus will gather, will build up, he's not talking about church buildings, but people, through those people, he's going to storm the very gates of hell. That's what he says. The gates of hell, the gates of Hades will not overcome it. The church on the offensive, storming the gates of hell through Jesus. Listen to what one author, this is actually from one of the Porterbrook courses that we have been going through. Porterbrook is kind of a discipleship, leadership training courses or curriculum that some of you have gone through and are going through. They have a course called Missional Church and Church Planting. Listen to what they say about the church. It says, "The church, then, is not something additional or optional. It is at the very heart of God's purposes. Jesus came to create a people who would model what it means to live under his reign. It would be a glorious outpost of the kingdom of God, an embassy of heaven. This is where the world can see what it means to be truly human." So the church isn't an afterthought. It's not a plan B. It's not one of the options of how God's working in the world, but it is his primary program, his primary purpose to advance the good news of Jesus and to advance his kingdom. Flip a little further in the Gospel of Matthew to the very end. This is a section of scripture that we talk about pretty often here at Antioch. Matthew 28, verses 16 through 20, the last words as Matthew records them that Jesus gave to his disciples after he had gone to the cross, risen from the dead, and was about to return to his heavenly Father. Jesus says to these disciples, verse 16 of Matthew 28, "Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them," now here are the words of Jesus, start in verse 18, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." Now, sometimes we refer to this in church circles, church speak, as the Great Commission. The commission that Jesus gave to his disciples and to his disciples throughout the ages until he returns. And you may know that the primary command here is to make disciples. There's three other participles that go with that to explain how that's done. At making disciples, how you go about that is as you are going. Go therefore, as you're going about life, wherever you are. Baptizing them. Teaching them, advancing the kingdom through seeing more people come to follow Jesus Christ. Now, interestingly, Jesus he's not just focused here on evangelizing individual people. He's talking about making disciples that are part of communities, that they won't be isolated, kind of going it alone. In an individualistic sense, which is sometimes how we tend to read a passage like this in our American individualistic context. But he's talking about disciples that are part of communities, part of churches. And, excuse me, these disciples are baptized into a community that confesses the Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. That's a distinctive of what they are confessing. And you look in the book of Acts, for instance, detailing the growth of the early church, it's clear that this being baptized, it means incorporation into this worshiping community, a community that has accountability and boundaries, a covenanted community with one another. And within this community, they're learning, these disciples, what it means to follow Jesus, what it means to flesh out the gospel in their lives, being taught to obey. Not just one-on-one, but in community. So Jesus, by implicitly really, with this great commission, he's referring to congregation, disciples being congregated, followers being brought together, not isolated converts. And one of the ways that we know that is the early church, those closest to this commission in history, they understood Jesus' mission to include just that. To start new churches. Take, for example, the Apostle Paul. His whole strategy for spreading the gospel, as you look in the book of Acts, was basically to go to major cities in the Roman Empire and to start to evangelize, to gather followers together, to start urban churches that would affect the surrounding regions. In Acts chapter 13 and 14, and then also Acts 16 through 19, I encourage you to look at that. We don't have time to go through all those chapters today, but Paul went to these strategic city centers in his ministry, on his missionary journeys. And a pattern or a method begins to emerge in the Apostle Paul's ministry. Some scholars, like David Hesselgrave, have called this the Pauline cycle, referring to this ongoing cycle that Paul was doing in his ministry as he went from place to place. He would evangelize, see people come to Christ, equip them, commend them to ministry, to service, and then help these churches become sending churches. Evangelizing, equipping, commending, sending, this ongoing cycle. And we see that. And he wasn't always able to carry that out everywhere he went because he often got pushed out of town through persecution, beaten, left outside the city, ran out of town. But one thing we see that's interesting is in Acts chapter 19, and Andrew Peterson preached on this a couple months ago, Paul started churches that would impact the entire region with the gospel. And in Acts 19, he's able to stay longer in the city of Ephesus, and you really see his strategy, his program, what he was trying to do. Acts 19, let me read for us here. Acts 19, verses 8 through 10. He's in Ephesus, and it says, talking of Paul, he entered the synagogue and for 3 months spoke boldly, reasoning and persuading them about the kingdom of God. But when some became stubborn and continued in unbelief, speaking evil of the way, that of the way of those following Jesus before the congregation, he withdrew from them and took the disciples with him, reasoning daily in the hall of Tyrannus. Now listen, as Paul's meeting with these disciples daily, listen what happens, verse 10. This continued for 2 years, so that all the residents of Asia heard the word of the Lord, both Jews and Greeks. Now he's talking about Asia Minor, modern-day Turkey. So Paul's meeting in Ephesus, discipling people, teaching people, and what happens is, historically, if you look on a map, there's churches in these smaller towns all around Ephesus that are being started. And a lot of scholars think what Paul was doing is, in Ephesus, establishing this church-planting hub to explode the gospel all over Asia Minor. And we see his plan kind of worked out in an area where he's able to stay longer. So there's other places we could go, but the first thing we need to see is that church planting is a biblical concept, not just a cultural fad that was back in the first century that we should move on from. The second reason we love to plant churches at Antioch is because starting new churches, it creates an environment for multiplying disciples of Jesus. In a new church, there's a lot of hands-on ministry and service opportunities, aren't there? And there's often many roles that need filled, many more volunteers that are needed. But think about that here at Antioch. A relatively small church, right? 125 or so, maybe more, adults. And between one-third and one-half of the people at Antioch are directly serving in a ministry area. Serving, volunteering in some shape or form. That's a high statistic for a church to have that much involvement. But when you're in a smaller church, when you're in a church that is trying to raise up leaders and start churches, there's a lot of ways to serve, a lot of opportunities. There's a lot of leadership opportunities. If you're serving in different leadership roles, on different ministry teams, leadership in community groups, internships, church planting residencies like Andrew has done the past year and a half and others will do. Take for example, talking about leadership opportunities, and I don't have permission to share this, but I think it'll be okay. Nate and Sarah Crampy, where are you guys at? In here? Okay. Hey, guys. I pick on them a lot, so they're okay with it. So Nate and Sarah Crampy, wonderful couple. They were part of, they came out of our mother church that helped to launch Antioch over 5 years ago, Hope Community, downtown Minneapolis. And they were on the core team together, at least I believe Nate was at that time. And so for the first 5 or 6 months before we launched, part of this core team of people that were working to establish the foundations of Antioch, Nate went on to become part of our leadership team. They both were involved in the beginnings of our hospitality ministry. They have been community group leaders, I think, the whole time since then. And Nate is part of our elder team now. Now, our elder team, it's myself, Nate Crampy, and Tim Mock. Nate and Tim, correct me if I'm wrong, have never served on an elder team in another church. So it's a great opportunity in a church plant setting for, it's one of the things I love the most about church planting. You see somebody that may have not had an opportunity in a different place or context or church, maybe it was a larger church, and they get into a church plant, and they're forced to step out in faith, try new things, to take on leadership, to be trained, to be invested in, and so many times they just blossom and bloom, and it's exciting to see, to be part of that. It's one of the things I love the most. One of our core values here at Antioch is intentional multiplication. And in order to see the multiplying of churches, one of the things that we say often is we want to see multiplication happening at every level. And a lot of you have taken that really literally with a huge baby boom here at Antioch. No, but multiplication on every level. People coming to Jesus, people being discipled in Jesus, being part of community groups, leaders being raised up, community groups multiplying, ministries multiplying, and then all of that overflows into churches being multiplied. When you are raising up leaders and you have more and more leaders, one of the best things you can do is release them. Because actually, if you've got solid leaders and you're not releasing and multiplying, they'll leave and go somewhere where they can do that. Because that's in their blood and part of their vision. Let's keep going. The third reason we love to plant churches in Antioch is because starting new churches, it's strategic. It's practical for advancing God's kingdom. It's strategic for advancing God's kingdom. Now, borrowing a little bit from a guy named Tim Keller, he's an author and pastor in Manhattan. Tim Keller makes several important points as to why church planting is so strategic. He's got a couple really good resources on this. One is a short article that you could download online as a PDF. It's called Why Plant Churches. The other is a large book that he's just written called Center Church, about reaching your city with a movement of the gospel. And he talks about church planting in there. But why is church planting strategic? He makes 3 points, and I love these. First, new churches best reach new generations, new residents, and new people groups. They best reach new generations, new residents, and new people groups. One of the things that we say in our membership course that we do here is that starting new churches, it's in some ways, it's like flooding the market with more radio station frequencies. Because you can't, one radio station, one frequency cannot reach every type of listener. Antioch Community Church, even though it's part of our desire, our vision to reach the Twin Cities with the gospel, the reality is we are not going to be able to reach every type of person. And part of the solution, I think, in God's divine wisdom is that we need many, many different types of churches to reach all different types of people that we might not. And we use the radio station analogy to talk about that. Second, new churches best reach lost, unchurched people. They're the most likely, at least statistically, to come to a new church. Third, new churches can help, and this one is really interesting. New churches can help renew the existing churches in a city or region. One of the biggest objections to church planting is that we have so many churches out there. Why don't we just help them get healthy? But what I love about what Tim Keller says is he turns that around and says, church planting is actually one of the best ways to help existing churches get revitalized. He says they bring new ideas to the larger body of Christ. They raise up new creative Christian leaders. New churches challenge other churches to self-examination. New churches can be evangelistic feeder systems for an entire community. Now, take Northeast Minneapolis. The last time I checked, it has the highest number of church buildings per capita in Minneapolis. But that doesn't mean that it has the highest number of gospel-believing, Jesus-loving Christians in all of Minneapolis, does it? So what Keller says is, one of the best ways to see a revival among existing churches is to start new churches. Here's a quote from this article, Why Plant Churches. He says, "The vigorous continual planting of new congregations is the single most crucial strategy for the numerical growth of the body of Christ in any city, and the continual corporate renewal and revival of the existing churches in a city. Nothing else, not crusades, outreach programs, parachurch ministries, growing megachurches, congregational consulting, nor church renewal processes will have the consistent impact of dynamic, extensive church planting." This is an eyebrow-raising statement, but to those who have done any study at all, it's not even controversial. I love that. So what are some implications for us? What does that mean for us as a church, that church planting is important? What does that mean for you, for me? Well, as a church, implications as a church family of being a church planting church, a couple things quickly. One, we're not in the empire building business. We're in the kingdom building business. We're not in the empire building business. We're in the kingdom building business. It's not about us. The spirit of our hearts should not be, oh, look at us. We're planning our first church. Isn't Antioch so great? Aren't we great? Let's pat ourselves a double pat on the back. But it's about Jesus' fame, not our name. That's what we want to keep, the drum we want to keep beating. It's about Jesus. And the churches that we start now in the future, they're going to look very different from one another. They're going to look different from us. They may be autonomous churches like City Vision. They may be sites of Antioch. We don't know. We're following what God is, where he's leading. Second, we want to hold people, leaders, and resources with an open and generous hand for the mission of Jesus. We want to hold what God has given us with an open hand and be willing to release our grip and give it away, which, let me tell you, is not easy. Because you invest in people, you see quality people like are going out on the church plant team that we're going to see a little later, and it's bittersweet because it's going to change at least the relationship that we have with them as part of our church family, but at the same time, it's multiplying for the sake of the gospel because we want to see more people experience Jesus. That's what it's all about. But what does that mean for you personally? Why does it matter that Antioch values being a church planting church? Ask yourself a couple questions. Number one, how can Jesus' mission through the local church become more of a priority in my life? How can Jesus' mission through the local church become more of a priority in my life? If God is about advancing his kingdom through his church, doesn't that mean that we should be giving our lives to what he's doing as part of that church? Not just serving in church-related programs and ministries, that's not what I'm talking about, but to be part of what God is doing as the people of God here, outside, the workplace, our neighborhoods, our families, engaging with what he's doing through his community called the church. What does that mean for you? What does that mean for me? What does greater investment in that look like? Second, how is God calling me to help Antioch become a God-honoring mother? A God-honoring mother church. What's your part? What's your part in that? We don't want at Antioch to be a parent that kicks the kid out of the house and never talks to him again. That's a bad mother. That's not a good parent. But we want to be a mother church, and of course, we'll fail, repent, and learn in this as any mother or any parent. But we want to be a mother church together as a church family that prays for those that are sent out, that maintains relationships and networks with them and encourages them. Some of us are sending this church out. Some of you are going with this church. Some of you are giving to this church and have given. Some of you are serving and helping out with things that they do. Maybe it's help that they need in childcare from time to time, whatever it might be. What is your role in helping Antioch be a good mother church? Think about that. Consider that. And let's learn how to do that together. Another quote to close here by Tim Keller. He says, church planting, it's not only for frontier regions or pagan societies that we're trying to help to become Christian. Churched societies will have to maintain extensive church planting simply to stay Christian. One church, no matter how big, will never be able to serve the needs of such a diverse city. Only a movement of hundreds of churches, small and large, can penetrate literally every neighborhood and people group in the city. That's what we're about. That's what we want to be part of. And it doesn't take a lot of people. It doesn't take a lot of money to do that. It takes the right people, and it takes a lot of faith. The mission of planting churches, it's a worthy cause for us to invest our lives in. That's what we're about. That's why a little bit of the picture and piece of why we plant churches here at Antioch. Let me invite the City Vision Church team, those who are here this morning, up front. We're going to have them come up on stage here. And I'll also ask our elders, Nate and Tim, if you guys could come up as well. We're going to hear a little bit from Andrew as far as what's going on, what's on the radar for today and in the near future. And then we want to pray for them, and our elder team is going to lead that as we all kind of join in prayer.
Thanks for everything over the last year and a half. We've really appreciated our time with you, getting to know you, building up our team. And as Andy said, it takes the right people. Hopefully we have some of that and a lot of faith. We have no choice but to have faith. We could just really use your prayers this week. So we launch our public services tonight. We have 3 weeks on. We're kind of calling it a soft launch, and then we're taking Super Bowl Sunday off. We meet in the evenings. We're renting an established church building in St. Louis Park. So we meet there 5 o'clock Sunday evenings. You're all welcome to come and check out a service anytime. Cityvisionchurch.com. You can see where we're located. But we're taking Super Bowl Sunday off, doing house parties, and then we're doing a launch celebration on February 9th, the week after. And we'll be weekly, consistently meeting then. But as we prepare to launch our first public service this Sunday, it's been a really rough week. A lot of us have been sick and kind of beat down, I think, by the enemy. Just this morning, God woke me up. I spent some time in the Word, and I feel really encouraged and excited now. But this whole week has been really a rough go at it, and feel like we've been kind of beaten down and weakened before we launch. And of course, that's what the enemy would want. And we're trusting in God, trusting His timing, trusting His leading, and just praying that He would make an impact. City of Vision Church, our mission is giving our city a vision of God. So continue to pray that God would use us to give our city a vision of Him, that people would meet Jesus, that lives would be changed, and that we would plant churches out just as Antioch has done. We really, really appreciate your guys' generosity to us and helping get this church started, igniting a movement of the gospel in the Twin Cities and beyond. And Pastor Andy, thank you so much for this. We're excited. We're excited to see what God does. I mean, just over 5 years ago, Antioch launched their very first public service. How many people were at your service? Do you remember?
I don't know, 85 or 100, I don't know.
Okay. And then just slow growth, right? And you just continue to make an impact in your city, make an impact in your neighborhood, and just watch what God does. And we're trusting God for that. Just want to read from Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20 and 21, which is, it's been a verse that God has been using in my life and our team's life, and just kind of as we dream about the impact that the gospel would have in and through us. Paul writes to the church in Ephesus, "Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we can ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever." I love the first part of that talks about faith. We're trusting God to do big things, immeasurably more than all we could ask or imagine. But then the second part of that passage, to him be the glory in the church. It's a joy, it's a privilege for us to be a part of establishing the bride of Christ, the church. And I personally love the church. I can't imagine where my life would be without the community of God, the family of God around me. And so it's a joy for us to be a part of planting the church, establishing the church. And as this passage says, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations. That we would just continue to pass the gospel on from generations to generations until the return of Christ. That the kingdom of God would be growing. That people who don't know Jesus today would know Jesus in the future. My heart and prayer and hope is that as the year presses on and as City Vision, as we launch our services and seek to make an impact in our city, that people who today have no cause, concern, or care for Jesus Christ would in the future be standing in our church services, lifting up hands in worship of Jesus. Wouldn't that be awesome? If you guys would war with me and pray with me that that would happen, that people living in our neighborhoods, people living in our city, people living around us in the Southwest Metro, that they would meet Jesus. And that today, when they have no cause or concern, they're sitting at home, church is the last thing on their mind, that actually in the future they would be with us, lifting up their hands and singing the songs that we sing back to Jesus because they've been redeemed. So that's our hope, that's our prayer. If you want to grab, there's some postcards back there on the back table and also the table where you came in and write your name on. Just a little info about City Vision Church. It has our website on there, our values, and just a little reminder about who we are and what we're doing, so you could be praying for us. Come out any Sunday evening and support us, and just come and check out a service. We'd love to have you there and love to have your prayer support and just have you sitting in the pews for one of our services. Don't come on Super Bowl Sunday. You'll be there alone, but any other Sunday evening, we'll be there. All right?
5 p.m., right?
5 p.m., yes.
Okay. Awesome.
Yep.
Awesome. Well, why don't you stand with us? We're going to pray for them.
Lord God, it is amazing to just stand here and see how your vision for your children is coming true. Of how we can read about all the experiences in the Old Testament being a pointer to who you are, and the New Testament being a fulfillment of the promises that you have for us, Lord. I pray that we can continue that vision, the promise that you'll never leave us. I pray for City Vision as a brand new church that they can just explode into the community, Lord, that they can change lives, that they can be the light that you need to be, you need them to be. Lord, we are here to worship you and to honor you, and I thank you for the heart of the team that is going to plant this church. I pray that they never waver in their faith of you, but when they do, Lord, that they can humbly come back to you in repentance and knowing that this is your church, you've given them the steward. And I pray that above anything else, that we can walk into the throne of Satan and say, you are not king. Satan, you are not controller of this city. You are not controller of this world. But we worship the one who is. I thank you so much for that.
Father God, it is just so exciting to see this church launch out. You've said in your word that the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. I'm just so grateful that you have raised up this group of people that are stepping out and to be your laborers among this harvest. Would you just bless their efforts, encourage them in their faith by opening up people's hearts to you. And I just ask that you would be working in their lives, protecting them, but please give them the boldness and the courage just to step out in faith. You be their guide, and would you be pleased with the results?
Lord, we pray that your word would run and be glorified in St. Louis Park. Lord, may many come to know you, men, women, children. May entire families be rescued and saved from spiritual death through the good news of Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray for spiritual protection, especially on the in the lives of the team that's here and others that aren't able to be here that are on the team. Lord, they have, as they step out by faith into this endeavor, they have a bullseye on their back where the enemy will attack and has been attacking. So, Lord, we pray against that. We pray in the powerful name of Jesus, through his blood, through his victorious resurrection, that you would protect each and every one on this team. Help them to remain strong in the strength of your might, to stand firm, putting on gospel armor, Lord. And we pray that you would guide this new young church as they storm the gates of hell. Thank you, Jesus, that you've already promised that you are building this church, this group of people. And we pray that all of this would be to your glory and to your fame and to the lifting up of your kingdom. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.